are now listening to the CRC Discover Life podcast, brought to you by Pastor Adboso. We trust that this message will change your life forever.
Radio stations, live stream viewers, of course, our television audience, it's a great honor and a great privilege to bring the Word of God right to you in your home from the capital of South Africa, bringing God's Word to Africa, to Europe, and to nations of the world. You are so welcome. God bless you in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Amen. Give somebody the biggest smile that you can this morning. You are in the house of God. And David said, I was glad when they said, let us go to the house of God. Not I was sad or mad, I was glad. Come on, tell your wife, I love you. Tell your father, you are the best. Hug another neck of a friend next to you and be happy this morning. Look alive, because I only have good news for you this morning. In Jesus' name, hallelujah. If it's your first time with us in any one of our churches, welcome. We know that your life will never be the same again, not because of Adboso, but because of Jesus Christ that Adboso serves. Come on, if you want to praise him, you can praise him one more time. My message this morning, just who do you think you are? Have you ever heard somebody say that to you? Just who do you think you are? Well, I'm going to talk about that. Just who do you think you are? Living with an audacious, a godly audacious attitude in life. A fable is told about an eagle who thought he was a chicken. When the eagle was very small, he fell from the safety of his nest. A chicken farmer found the eagle, brought him to the farm, and raised him in a chicken coop among his many chickens. The eagle grew up doing what chickens do, living like a chicken and believing he was a chicken. Cluck, cluck. A naturalist came to the chicken farm to see if he had heard about an eagle acting like a chicken. If it was really true, he knew that an eagle is king of the sky. He was surprised to see the eagle strutting around the chicken coop, pecking at the ground and acting very much like a chicken. The farmer explained to the naturalist that the bird was no longer an eagle. He was now a chicken. My visuals, please. Because he had been trained to be a chicken and he believed that he was a chicken. The naturalist knew there was more to this great bird than his actions showed, so he pretended to be a chicken. He was born an eagle and had the heart of an eagle, and nothing could change that. The man lifted the eagle onto the fence surrounding the chicken coop and said, "Eagle, thou art an eagle. Stretch forth thy wings and fly." The eagle moved slightly, only to look at the man. Then he glanced down at his home among the chickens in the chicken coop where he was comfortable. Sound like somebody you know in South Africa? He jumped off the fence and continued doing what chickens do. The farmer was satisfied and he said, "Well, I told you this was a chicken." The naturalist returned the next day and tried again to convince the farmer and the eagle was born was something else. He took the eagle to the top of the farmhouse, spoke to him, "Eagle, thou art an eagle. Thou dost belong to the sky and not to the earth. Stretch forth thy wings and fly." The large bird looked at the man, then again into the chicken coop. He jumped down from the man's arm again onto the roof of the farmhouse. Knowing what eagles are really about, the naturalist asked the farmer to let him try one more time. And that's what this preacher is doing this morning. He would return the next day and prove that the bird was an eagle. The farmer, convinced otherwise, said, "It's a chicken." The naturalist returned the next morning to the chicken farm and took the eagle and the farmer some distance away to the foot of a high mountain. They could not see the farm nor the chicken coop from the new setting. The man held the eagle in his arm, pointed high into the sky where the bright sun was beckoning above. He spoke, "Eagle, thou art an eagle. Thou dost belong to the sky and not to the earth. Stretch forth thy wings and fly." This time the eagle stared skyward into the bright sun, straightened his large body, and stretched his massive wings. His wings moved slowly at first, then surely and powerfully, with a mighty screech, as an eagle, he eventually flew. I'm here to tell you that some of you are gonna fly where God has called you to fly. You are gonna go places that you never thought possible, because eagle, thou art an eagle. Thou belongs to the sky. Stretch for thy wings and fly. Hallelujah. You are not meant to live a life of defeat, but you are meant to live a life of victory. You are meant to be the head and not the tail, above only and not beneath. You are not meant to survive and struggle in life. You are meant to live the higher life, the Christ life. So I want to talk about who you are this morning. I want to talk about being an eagle Christian, spreading forth your wings and flying on into new horizons, into that which God has for you. The greatest struggle that people have in life is to get the right picture of themselves. Teenagers get their picture from their friends. Many people get that picture or the image in their mind from their upbringing, their culture, their mistakes, their failures, people's opinions. I've learned long ago, it really doesn't matter what people think about you. It matters what you think about yourself. Because the image in your mind is defined by what you think about yourself, what you think people think about you, what you think God thinks about you, and what you allow your culture to impose upon you. There are many Christians that still live like chickens, that still talk like the old man, live like the old man. But I want to tell you that Jesus came to do something beautiful and something wonderful in your life. Jesus came to turn you from a chicken into an eagle. Come on. If any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Come on, shout and give the Lord a praise. Hallelujah. So in the journey of life, most people wrestle with a clear picture of who they are. Sometimes you see a beautiful, young, bright, vibrant girl like a Chanel that is going to be betrothed to my handsome son 2 weeks from now, and she's going to become my daughter, and she's going to stay radiant all the days of her life. But yes, the truth. Many beautiful, vibrant women get married, and they lose themselves in a chicken coop of oppression, of male chauvinism, of cultural things that are placed upon them. And they become a shadow of who God means for them to be. Well, this Bible that God gave us is a book full of pictures. In the Bible, we get a clear picture of God. In the Bible, we get a clear picture of who the devil is. In the Bible, we get a clear picture of God's will for our lives. And then in the Bible, we have a clear picture of who we are and who we are not. Now, I want to tell you this morning who you are. You are a saint and you are not a sinner. You're a child of God. You are no longer a slave. You are a victor and you are not a victim. You are free and you are no longer bound by sin. You are the head and you are not the tail. You are above only and you will never be beneath. You are an eagle and you are not a turkey. Cluck, cluck, somebody says in Jesus' name. So the way you see yourself will determine the way you live life. This picture is determined by your prevailing thoughts. The thoughts that bombard your mind. The thoughts that you think by yourself, the negatives that are developed in the dark recesses of your mind, that voice of somebody who spoke to you when you were 3 years old or 7 years old, maybe a Gideon that was told all the days of your life, you are the least of the least and we are the weakest of the weakest. God says, no, you are a mighty man. God says, you are a man of war. God says, you're a man of valor. God says, you have a great future and you have a great hope. Say amen. So I cannot overemphasize the importance of your thoughts. In Proverbs 23 verse 7, the Bible says, for as he thinketh in his heart, so is he. So again, it really doesn't matter what other people think about you. Because opinions come and go. I've learned that people are fickle. Even I was shocked to see that some people criticized this event in Bloemfontein through evangelist Angus Buchan. Christians quoting scripture. I thought, my... how can you always find something to criticize? We should look for the ray of light even in the darkest cloud. Amen. We should look for goodness in the valley of despair. We should look for good things when bad things are happening. But it's a mindset. It's a paradigm. It's a prevailing attitude that caused Israel to perish in the land of Canaan or in the land of bondage. So your thoughts will either take you into the higher life that God has for you or keep you from your future, will either take you into victory or help you to live a life of defeat. Whether you're black or you're white, it doesn't matter. Now, we don't want to talk black or white, but some of us still think like black and white. You say, boss, that's a touchy subject, don't touch it. Well, where should we touch it? Because the politician doesn't touch it the right way. The church should touch it the right way. It really doesn't matter what color you are. As a matter of fact, I told somebody the other day that God doesn't know what color you are because the Bible says he doesn't look on the outward appearance. He doesn't even recognize the outward. I don't mean to say you're white or you're pink and feel bad about yourself. And I don't mean to say you're black and you're not beautiful. Be black and beautiful, but that's not your identity. Thank you, thank you, thank you for shouting me down. Amen. We need a Christ consciousness. I said we need a Christ consciousness. We need a Christ, we need an eagle consciousness in South Africa. That's what's going to unite us. And by that, I'm not saying we should not address the social injustices. We should not engage in land reforms in a positive biblical matter, because wealth distribution, I'll prove to you, is in the Word of God. I'm not saying we pray yesterday and today we put our heads in a hole and forget that there are issues facing our country. We should pray and then engage. Farmers should pray and then engage. Businessmen should pray and then engage, because we cannot be, say we have the land of milk and honey and the poor are still poor in our country. Because let me tell you something, whether you like to know it or not, the poor person does not care about this meeting today. By the way, the gospel is good news to the poor. So if there are poor people in your life, when they see you, good news should come. That means with you comes money, with you comes blessing, with you comes upliftment, with you comes social justice. Come on, hallelujah. Not I pray to preserve my own future. No. Together. Because if my brother is suffering and I'm blessed, how does the love of God dwell in me? It doesn't. So I thank God for yesterday. I'm 5,000,000% behind yesterday, but yesterday was the start. Now the farmers need to engage. Now the businessmen need to engage. Now every person that wants a future for this country has to get engaged in the world where God has placed them, and be the good South African, be the good Samaritan, not look the other way, not just fight for your own future, but fight for the future of those that were oppressed previously. Hallelujah. I'm in a newspaper, asked me, what do you want to see through this day? I said, I want to see that the poor are blessed and prosperous in this country. Now it's going to get all the quiet in this Presbyterian church, because sometimes we want to pray just for ourselves. We're not praying for ourselves, we're praying for the country. 27% of people don't have jobs in South Africa. Okay. Just smile. Pay fair wages, help students that are struggling. If you've put your students through, be Christian, because that's what Jesus spoke about. Everything about Jesus talking to the disciples is to bring social justice, social reformation, transformation, uplifting the poor. The gospel is good news to the poor. Even when Paul went to the church to get the blessing of the church to share the revelation he received from Jesus, the apostles of Jerusalem said, go share the revelation, but remember the poor. Not the blessed get more blessed. The blessed get more blessed so they can uplift the poor. And we, family, CRC, we will do our part in this land and address social injustice, amen, and engage where we can. Not go crawl away, not buy a plane ticket to New Zealand, not shout from Australia that South Africa is finished. South Africa is not finished, because we declare Jesus Christ is Lord of South Africa, and blessed are the people whose God is the Lord. But that doesn't mean we're just going to shout in church on a Sunday. We have to come with plans. Farmers have to get together. Structures have to get together and address land reform. Okay, listen, last thing I'm going to say in that line is like competing with... What's ours? Now, South African champion that won the 400 meters now. Wade van Niekerk. It's like competing with Wayne van Niekerk and saying, okay, he can start at the 400, or he can start at the starting line, and I start at the 100 meters, so I'm 300 meters ahead of him. How many of you know he's got more potential than me? No, don't raise your hands. Watch it now. Because the Spirit of the Lord may just come upon me like he did on Elisha, and I'll prove you, you know. He ran past the king's chariot. But okay, I'll agree that in the natural, okay, he's a faster runner than me. So how can we say that it's a fair race if he's better than me, but I start 100 meters from the finish and he still has to run 400 meters. All the potential in the world, he will not catch up to me. That's why there has to be reform. Come on, shout someone, make me happy. Never gonna catch me. Okay. So your thoughts will either take you into victory or keep you defeat the rest of your life, whether it'll cause you to soar in life or keep you floundering around in life. 3 John verse 2, the Bible very clearly, the Apostle John says, beloved, I wish above all things that you may prosper and be in health as your soul prospers. So I come from the viewpoint, which is biblical, that no matter what happened in your yesterday, you should not live like a victim. And you should not look to the government. You should look to God to reform your future, because God will bless you in the most unlikely places. Hallelujah. God may use the government, but if the government fails you, God will not fail you. Come on, David said, I've never seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. Hallelujah. Blessed are those who put their trust in God. We trust in God. And we do our part. So turkey thinking plus turkey talk equates or equals turkey living. Eagle thinking plus eagle talk eagles or equals eagle living. Paul to the church in Colossians chapter 3 verse 1, he says, if you then were raised with Christ, seek those things which are above. Everybody say above. Where Christ is. Say where Christ is. Sitting at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above and not on things on the earth. Set your mind on things above, not on things of the earth. For you died and your life is hidden with Christ in God. So to think eagle thoughts means I think Christ thoughts, Bible thoughts, not cultural thoughts, not my background thoughts, Christ. You have a new identity, a new life, and this new life is in Christ. What Jesus came to do, otherwise he died in vain. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 verse 16, the Bible says, just doing a little bit of teaching, I felt God wants me to do, set some things in order. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 verse 16, therefore, from now on, we regard no one according to the flesh. We regard no one according to the flesh. In the church, outside they do, but in the church we can't. Outside people do it, in the church we don't, because we're different. We look like people in the world, but we represent Christ. Christ, Christian, Christ-like, eagle. Even though we have known Christ according to the flesh, yet now we know him thus no longer. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creature. I'm preaching tonight about that. Don't miss it. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. The Message translation says, because of this decision, we don't evaluate people by what they look or have or how they look. We looked at the Messiah that way once and got it all wrong. As you know, we certainly don't look at him that way anymore. Now we look inside and we see that anyone united with a Messiah gets a fresh start, is created new. The old life is gone and new life burgeons. So I have to stop thinking like the old man. If I'm going to change my life, I have to get rid of the old identity. That's what baptism does. Through baptism, I no longer identify with the old man and I rise in newness of life. I'm a Christian. Not an Afrikaans Christian, a Christian. Your language may be Afrikaans, nothing wrong with that, but you're a Christian. And the Sintu brother is your brother, not he's your black brother, he's your brother. South Africa, reconciliation. Not divisive speech. Amen. Come on, give the Lord a prayer. And if we really understand this, we will engage. We will be proactive as Christian farmers. Two amens. Do we want truth or a feel-good gospel? Well, the gospel makes you feel good, but it requires responsibility. And the cross is a cross of reconciliation between God and man, and then man and man. There's no Christianity without reconciliation. Reconciliation first with God, and then reconciliation with your brother, the person that's not like you. Now, many people haven't crossed that bridge because of an old mindset. You say, how do you know? The jokes you tell. Bible says many a true word is spoken in jest. So when you with your three friends, the jokes you tell, that reveals who you are. Galatians chapter 2 verse 20, the Bible says, I have been crucified with Christ. I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I that live, but Christ lives in me. So the Christ I have to represent to the world is a Christ that is all-inclusive, a Christ that does not exclude, a Christ that is all-loving, a Christ that is all-merciful. It's no longer I that live, but Christ who lives in me, a Christ who accepts, a Christ who loves unconditionally. It's not 10 different Jesuses. I mean, over the Passover, I have to smile. People got involved in debates. Was Jesus black? Was he white? He's a spirit. It doesn't matter. He just had to come in a human body as a Jew because God made a promise in Genesis chapter 3. And through the old covenant, God had to preserve the bloodline of the Messiah. Jesus had to come as a man because sin entered the world as a man. So God had to preserve the Jewish race for Jesus to be born. But Jesus is a spirit. He's not a flesh. There's no color. I mean, somebody says, God a female. No. But why must it be a he? Because the Bible says our father, not our mother. Our father, Father God. Father God, I don't care what your woman's liberation theology is. You can't change the Bible through your woman's liberation. God is a father. Jesus is a savior. Come on, hallelujah. Get over it. Get over yourself. Get over your, you know, I said to people the other day, young people think that this feminist movement is a new thing. It was there after the 66, rock and roll and drugs. People were so free. This comes onto the earth again and again and again. And Christ did come to liberate the woman in the world. I understand that there's equality there. But hey, men can't have babies. No matter how much you march, a man is never going to have a baby. You are going to have the babies for the rest of humanity. You're not getting married to your husband and say, I'm not having babies. I don't want that pain. You'll have the baby. Let's take a vote. So there's certain things you can't vote on. Get over it. You magnify truth. Your life is hidden in Christ. Not in the philosophies of the world, the traditions of the world. Paul says, who spoiled you through vain traditions? Who robbed you of your identity, your Christ identity, that you live again like a mere man in the world? So you have to take all truth and compare it with Christ. Eagle truth. It's no longer I that live, but Christ who lives in me. And the life I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself to me. Verse 21 says, I do not set aside the grace of God, or I do not frustrate the grace of God. For if righteousness comes through the law, then Christ died in vain. So righteousness, right standing with God, doesn't come through man's attempts or man's works. It comes through what Jesus did already. By grace you are saved through faith. It is a gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. So you'll never get God's approval by your works or by the outside. You have God's favor because of what Jesus did. And if you have God's favor, I have God's favor, how can you fight me if we're both children of God? We are God's children. We are God's family. We are a rainbow nation, a beautiful nation with a beautiful future as long as we celebrate the Lordship of Jesus. Oh, come on. They're in Bloemfontein. You're in Pretoria. Give the Lord Jesus a big praise today because you love him. Hallelujah. So say it this morning. Say, I am a new man. Say it with conviction. Say, I am a new man. Say, I'm a Christ man. Say, my roots, my identity, my future is in Jesus. Nothing else. Now, are you getting it? Because for years I went to church and I thought, well, church is part of my life. It's not part of my life, it's my life. Jesus is my life. He's the way, the truth, and the life. Not Jesus and Jesus. The Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. So we have to be rooted and grounded in Christ. And I come to see that many people don't understand what Jesus came to do. It took Paul 14 years to be taught in the third heaven by Jesus himself to get an understanding of this revelation. Christ in you, the hope of glory. 14 years. He wasn't permitted to preach this revelation until he had the understanding of who you are in Christ. Not you, a Christian on Sunday, and during the week you live another way. Who you are in Christ, your identity. So, you know, I'm going to get their people having an identity that problems in their mind like Joshua and Caleb. But for the church, the greater challenge is that people are not rooted and grounded in Christ. They don't have an understanding of their Christ identity. Because if you did, you would not look at your brother as different to you. It's impossible. Because the only thing that avails in the New Testament is a new creation. That's the Bible. So that's the higher truth. If you then are raised with Christ, set your mind on things above where Christ is seated at the right hand of the Father. So I have to think Christ thoughts. Because when I think Christ thoughts, I will live Christ life. Romans 12 verse 2, we know the scripture. The Bible says, be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind that you may prove what is the good, acceptable, perfect will of God for your life. So how do I find God's will? Transformation, the process of metamorphosis, a caterpillar into a butterfly. By the renewing of your mind, thinking God's thoughts about you, thinking Christ's thoughts, putting the old man off, putting the new man on by renewing the spirit of your mind. So people struggle and they don't have God's best. Listen carefully. Listen very carefully. And they don't get their breakthroughs. Listen very carefully. Because they don't do the love walk. Mark 11, 25. And when you stand praying, forgive. After faith. Verse 22, have the faith of God. Verse 23, speak to the mountain. Verse 24, what things ever you desire, when you pray, believe you receive them, you shall have them. And when you stand praying, verse 25 says, forgive if you have ought, if anyone has sinned against you. So people fight, their brothers say they don't walk in love. The Bible even talks to married people and he says, husbands, do not be bitter towards your wife, that your prayers be not hindered. So if we are not settled in the Christ walk, which is the love walk, our prayers will be hindered. You'll have all the vision, all the slogans, and all you'll strut and you'll get mad, but you'll go nowhere. Because you're not walking the walk that Jesus came to bring you. Listen to me. I cannot overemphasize how important this is. And this is where our minds have to be renewed. Renewed in the love walk. Renewed in the Christ walk. Because some people do everything right except this. As you would have men do unto you, do also unto them. The golden rule, the way we suppose, not as people have done unto you, so you do unto them. Not it's payback time now. And as you would have people do unto you, do unto them. So many people. And that's why I bring this revelation that Paul brought to the church in this quarter. Because I know God wants you to explode. I know God has great things for you. But you have to step back a little bit. And go back to the mirror, the image of Christ, and see how's your love walk. You fight with your husband all the time. You fight with your wife all the time. You fight with a pastor all the time. You fight with other believers all the time. You criticize churches all the time. You gossip about people all the time. And you think you're going to get ahead in life. You ain't going nowhere. You are your own worst enemy. You are living like a turkey. Come on. You are living like a chicken in the chicken coop. You are living like a carnal man. God says, no. If any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. The old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Come on, eagle, thou art an eagle. Thou dost belong to the sky. Spread for thy wings and fly. Come on, focus on your future and no longer focus on your past. Focus on the promises of God and no longer focus on the problems of yesterday. Come on, you are never going to reach the palace while you talk like a pauper. You are never going to reach the blessing of God while you murmur and complain all the days of your life. You're never going to go into the promise while you talk the problem. You have to make up your mind to identify with Jesus more than anything else. More than your hurt, your pain, your past, your culture, more than anything. Because that's where the blessing is. Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law. That the blessing of Abraham might come upon the Gentiles. Not difficult, but it is hidden in Christ. Your life is hidden in Christ, with God in Christ. So you want to live the life that God has for you, you better understand the Christ life. So tonight I'm talking about what it means to be born again. How to walk in the power of the new life, of the resurrection life as a Christian. Because that's what Jesus came to bring. Not bring you a defeated life. Not bring you half salvation. A life where you struggle. He gave you a complete life. He has perfected you. He has blessed you in Christ. As long as you're hidden in Christ. Are you listening to me this morning? So stop looking where you've been and start looking where you should be. Philippians chapter 3 verse 3-8, the Bible says, "For we are the circumcision who worship God in the spirit, rejoice in Christ Jesus, and have no confidence in the flesh. Though I also might have confidence in the flesh. If anyone else thinks he may have confidence in the flesh, I'm also circumcised the eighth day of the stock of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of the Hebrews, concerning the law, a Pharisee, concerning zeal, persecuting the church, concerning righteousness, which is of the law, blameless." Wow, what a resume. This man is blameless according to the law as a Pharisee. He's living, he has ticked every box under the law in the flesh. He comes from the right stock. Stock of Benjamin. The right tribe. He's a Jew. The right sect. He's a Pharisee. He knows the law. Even in those days, people were getting puffed up in the flesh. Like, I've got money. So, when you die without your money, honey. So you don't have to strut around like, I made it. No, he made it. He made it for you. And you're just walking in his grace. Amen. Amen. Not look at me. Look at him. We have to make him more famous. And the more God blesses you, the more you should do for God and God's kingdom. The more you should bless him back. Come on. Hallelujah. And the more God promotes you, the more you should promote him. The more God blesses you, the more you should bless him and give back to God. Come on. Say amen. Because it's all about him. We are here to make him more famous. Him. South Africa. Our future is in Jesus. We are here to make Jesus more famous. And Jesus will draw us together. So when we tweet or when we talk, we should talk the gospel of Jesus that unites and never divides. And if your brother sins against you, go to him privately. Don't splash it on social media. Thank you for three amens. Please, man, read your Bible. Or throw your Bible away and go find some other religion that you can follow. So this is Paul. He's a thoroughbred. He says, "But what things were gained to me, these I have counted loss for Christ." The greatest treasure hidden from the ages. Not even the angels understood this revelation. Paul had to be taught this for 14 years, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Christ in you, the hope of glory. Glory is God's goodness manifested in your life. Christ in you. You want to see God's goodness manifested in your life? Get over yourself and embrace this new life that you have. Love those who don't love you. Bless those who curse you. Pray for those who despitefully use you and persecute you, that you may be children of your Father in heaven. Come on, because he sends his rain on the just and the unjust. He causes his sun to shine on the good and the evil. So be perfect, even as your Father in heaven is perfect. Be Christian. Be Christ-like. Oh, come on, I'm preaching better than you. Clap, clap, come on. It says in verse 8, "Yes, indeed, I also count all things lost for the excellence of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and count them as rubbish." The correct word there is dung, D-U-N-G. Well, he said it in the Bible. It's in the Bible. Go to the original Greek and see what he uses there. All these things that we, I mean, I bought a house and I drove a car like, and I got 550 degrees. And, you know, I just bought a Versace. I just got a Louis Vuitton handbag. In Mauritius, yeah, and it's fake. And you parade it everywhere like it's real. But it's fake, like fake. And you have the greatest treasure in the world. You have Jesus. You have Christ. And you're looking for an identity outside of Christ. Hallelujah. Come on. I mean, God wants to bless you. God doesn't mind you having a great car. But your identity is not because of the car or the house or the street address or the color of your skin or the language that you speak or your degree or the sports team you make. Your color is in Christ, because he says everything else is like rubbish in comparison to this Jesus. Oh, come on to this amazing Jesus that we serve. He alone is worthy. He's the pearl of great price. And if you love him this morning, praise him like you love him in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Count it all as rubbish. Oh, I celebrate the successes, and I cast my crown before God, and I recognize the favor of God and the platform that God gives me. But I use it for the glory of God, that I may promote Christ, who is the mediator, who is the reconciliator. Christ, the hope of glory. South Africa, Christ, the hope of glory. Father, help us to get a revelation, even as you Paul prayed in Ephesians chapter 1, that we may understand, enlighten the eyes of our understanding, help us understand the mystery of the gospel, which is Christ in us. Use us, Father, as instruments of reconciliation in this nation at this time. Raise up those, Father, that will be activists for good, that will bring healing and hope to the lost, the dying, the poor. Use us for your glory, for we know, Father, one day we will stand before you and we will give account for our lives. We seek no man's honor, we seek no man's glory, but we seek to magnify you, Jesus. You are exalted, you are Lord forever. You alone are worthy. You deserve all the glory, and today we give it back unto you. Forgive us, Father, where we've represented ourselves. Forgive us where we have hurt others. Forgive us for every division. Make us one that the world may know that we are yours. Make us one, Jesus, as you and the Father are one. Make us one in this nation to bring healing. In Jesus' name, thank you, Father, you promised that you will arise over our land with healing in your wings. Thank you, Father, that you are raising up your church. Thank you that we can announce it's a new day, that brotherly love will prevail, that we will stand united for the name of Jesus like never. We know what's at stake, the souls of humanity. We thank you, Father, your word says we wrestle not against flesh and blood. The weapons of our warfare are not carnal. We have the power. We submit ourselves to you willingly, acknowledging the lordship of Jesus Christ, the rule and the reign of God in our land. We worship you as God Most High, El Elohim. We bless you. We bless you. We exalt you. Let every man be brought low. Let God be exalted. Let every name grow dim. The name of Jesus grow brighter. Come, Holy Spirit, like never. Come like a rushing wind. Move upon our land, we pray. Remove the strife, the division, the anger, the hatred, the bitterness. Let the love and the compassion of Jesus fill every heart of everyone that professes the name of Jesus in our land. Breathe upon our land, we pray. In Jesus' name. To God be all the glory forever and ever. We worship you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Every head bowed, every eye closed, no one moving. You've come here today and you know that your life is not right with God. You go to church, you read your Bible, but if you die today, you don't know where you will spend eternity. Jesus Christ is not the Lord of your life. Maybe you served God at one time, but you've grown cold. You've wandered away from Him. This morning, God wants you to come back. Maybe like the prodigal son, you've left your father's house. Today, you can come back. It doesn't matter what you've done. Jesus loves you. And He's reaching out to you this morning, calling you to come home. Everybody needs a new beginning. We read today, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Maybe you're sitting here today, you say, Pastor, I have sinned. I have failed. I have fallen. I have no peace with God today. If I died, I don't think I'll go to heaven. Well, you're in the right place today to come home, to come back to Jesus. Every head bowed, every eye closed, no one moving. People praying all over our churches. You say, Pastor, that's me. I need a fresh start, a new beginning. I want to come back. I want to make my peace with Jesus today. If that's the cry of your heart, let me pray for you all over this place. They're in Bloemfontein, Johannesburg, East Rand, Welkom, whoever you are, wherever you are. Amen. Great privilege to pray with each one of you. We love you. Jesus loves you. You're valuable. You're precious. I want you to close your eyes, forget about everybody, and just pray this prayer with me right now, all over the country, at all the altars. Pray this prayer right now. Say these words. Jesus, I give myself back to you. Thank you for loving me just as I am. I believe with all my heart you died for my sin. I believe you rose from the grave. I believe you are alive. Today, in this place, I acknowledge you as my Lord and my Savior. Thank you for forgiving me, for washing me in your blood. Thank you for giving me the power to be a child of God now and forever. I will never be the same again. I am born again. All my sins are forgiven. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you for listening to our podcast. For more information on CRC, visit www.crc.org.za.